when more information will be supplied. If any of you during the teleconference, please ask for the help of one of our operators typing *0. This event is also being transmitted simultaneously via internet by webcast. It can be accessed at the address ri.sequoialog.com.br. Where it's available, the respective presentation is available. The selection of slides will be controlled by you. The replay of this event, it will be available right after the closing of this call. We remember that the participants of this webcast can register via website questions for Sequoia, which will be answered at the end of the teleconference by the IR area. Before continuing, we would like to clarify that eventual declarations that may be made during this teleconference relative to perspectives, business perspectives of Sequoia, are projections, operating goals, and financial goals constitute beliefs and premises that the management of the company, as well as information currently available to Sequoia. Future considerations are not a guarantee of performance and involve risks, uncertainties, and premises, as they all refer to future events and therefore depend on circumstances which may or may not occur. Investors and analysts should understand that general conditions, sectoral conditions, and other operational factors can affect the results, the future results of Sequoia, and may lead to results that are materially different than those expressed in future conditions, depending on future conditions. We'd like to now pass the microphone over to Armando Arquezán Neto, founder and CEO, who will begin the presentation. Sir Armando, please go ahead. Good morning to everyone. It's a great pleasure that we announced today our results referring to the third quarter of 2022. I will initiate the presentation with slide number 4, where we will mention the operating results for the third quarter of 2022 and compare it to the previous year. The number of orders reached 20.8 million, an increase of 65.1%, with a highlighting the strong results of the B2C area of 19.2 million orders, an increase of 72%. In relation to the previous year. All of this growth has organic origin. The gross revenue reached 538 million reais with an organic growth of 20.7%, highlighting the performance of the B2C growth, which represented 343 million, an organic increase of 30.7%. We wanted to mention also that this comes from a strong performance in the light goods sector, where we conquered new clients and also grew in our base of current clients. We also mentioned the cooling off of the higher value products and the B2C, heavy B2C and B2B. This affected GMV transported, which reached 10.5 billion reais, a decrease of 17.9%. We have observed lower demand in the higher value-added products since the last quarter, and we've seen a slowing of this in the third quarter. This is our perception, and it's in line with the data published by the IBG, pointing to the cooling off of the higher value-added market, with a reduction of 21% in relation to the first quarter. Going to our EBITDA, we reached 67.4 million reais growing in the quarter, an increase of 19.8%. And the EBITDA margin reached 14.9% in line with the previous year. Our leverage ratio in relation to EBITDA net debt continued at a healthy level of 1.7 times, reflecting the benefits of our asset-light strategy with a ROIC of 44.3%. Going now to slide 5. On this image, we show our positioning in the logistics market. with a complete offering of services that are made possible by technology. In terms of gross revenue, the B2C segment increased its participation and represented 66%, followed by the B2B of 26%, followed by logistics services with 8%. Our focus, our strategic focus, continues to focus on our physical and digital services, where we understand that there are great opportunities for growth and consolidation of our company's leadership in the long term. In the B2C segment, we have consolidated our routes with existing routes, especially in the light items, and increased over the last 12 months. We advanced in the third quarter in the integration between the physical and by the Frenet and SFX, our technology for multiple origin collections, integrating with Frenet, becoming an option for small and medium companies who need a solution, a logistical solution, which is more efficient. In B2B, we have a complete portfolio of services, including express service, field service, and reverse logistics. Our focus on the less than a truckload or fractured or semi-full trucks is concentrated on the B2C. Our focus is more and more integrated in the B2C and B2B segments, taking advantage of the structure and routes that we already have in operation, consolidating the volume of the two segments, as well as sharing the automation and technology investments. Beyond the adjustments in our network of heavy and B2B deliveries, we're working on the integration of services with important marks of unification of units over the next 60 days, and also the launch of new technologies such as our new traffic control tower, which will unify 100% of all of our routes and transfers in all segments. I would like to now pass it over to slide six, and invite our COO, Bruno Henrique, to pass through the principal highlights, operating highlights of the period. Bruno? Thank you, Armando. Good morning, everyone. Going to page seven, we will break a breakdown of our orders. As Armando mentioned, once again, we have delivered a strong mark, especially in the B2C segment. The number of orders in the B2C area increased by 72% compared to the previous year, reaching 19.2 million in the third quarter of 22. Comparing the historic volume that we reached in the second quarter of this year, the average ticket was 17.9%, a lowering of Vinci Quad of 24% compared to the previous years, respectively. The reduction of the ticket, this average ticket, is related to the change in the mix of our products. The strong growth of light deliveries of up to 3 kilos, which has the lowest average ticket, and the lower growth of higher ticket items with higher value added. The macroeconomic scenario is more challenging, and the increase in the interest rates and the reduction of access to credit by consumers has reduced the demand of the market for higher value-added products, and which is has changed the mix, as you see in our numbers. In the B2B segment, we've had growth of 12% in volume. The average ticket reached 89.9 reais, a reduction of 4% and 6% in relation to the year and quarter, previous year and quarter, respectively. In the other segments, we reached 28 million orders with strong growth compared to the previous year. Our business model, which is a complete model for clients and different clients, has the increased number of orders that we have captured in the market, especially in the segment of light B2C, where we have increased our presence in the same clients as well as conquering new clients. To show this more clearly, on the next slide, number eight, we bring the highlights of our operational ecosystem. At the top of the slide, I would like to show our complete solution, our modular solution for the attendant, for the service of our clients in the segments in which we operate. In the first mile, we have through these physical drop-off points with a very high range, about 400,000 packages collected per day in 22,000 points in 644 cities. Going to the 17 distribution centers and 463 hubs, We sort more than 300,000 packages per day, and we have continually increased this capacity, this processing capacity, by delivery of new technology and the implementation of more sorters. And finally, we have a coverage of 94% of the GDP for last mile deliveries. 4,260 cities with a daily volume of 300,000 packages. This high volume of 400,000, an increase of 71% compared to the previous year, together with our increased efficiency, has transformed our operation. The automation of our distribution centers, the implementation of new sorters, as well as several projects for the system, has impacted in a relevant way. On the left-hand side, we see the number of orders per employee almost doubled this year, going from 1,900 to 3,400 per quarter. On the right-hand side, we see on a base of 100, a reduction of 17% that we've had in our unit freight costs in the B2C and light freight segments. Looking at slide number nine, I'm going to pass it over to Stuckey, who will give you our financial results. Thank you, Bruno. Good morning, everyone. Before starting my presentation, I wanted to point out that starting in 2022, to make our communication with the market more simplified, we are not adjusting our results by the IFRS 16 index. We use the stockholder numbers. The IFRS 16 is on the results, is adjusted results on page 11 with this reconciliation. On slide 10, we have the principal numbers of the quarter. We had a gross revenue of 538 million reais, an increase of 21% in the comparison year on year. The gross profit was 85.6 million reais, an increase of 20% compared to the previous year, and an 18.9% margin, in line with the same numbers from last year. EBITDA went up by about 20%, reaching 67 million reais with a margin of 14.9%, almost in line with the previous year. Adjusted for the non-recurring factors of 17, but it grew by 17% with a margin of 15%. Our adjusted net income generated by acquisitions was 8.6 million reais, and our ROIC increased 40 to 44.3%. On the next slide, number 11, show the comparison of our gross revenue. As was shown in the previous, on the left-hand graph, our organic growth was 21% in relation to the previous year. In the accumulated of 9 months, we've had strong growth of 32%, 27% of which is organic. On the right-hand side, we have a breakdown of the principal segments of the company. In the B2C segment, we had an increase, organic increase of 31%, and in 9 months, 47%. In the B2B segment, our growth in the quarter was 8% and 11% accumulated for 9 months. And we'd like to highlight, as Bruno mentioned, that in a more the change in mix of our orders with the continuance of this growth of light deliveries and the reduction in heavy deliveries with higher added value, meaning that this tendency is aligned with the macroeconomic scenario for the white line and electronics. On the slide number 12 is the profit. We show our profitability compared to previous periods. On the left-hand side, you can see the growth of 20% in gross revenue in relation to the third quarter of 21. The gross margin had a reduction of 0.2% annually and 0.7% in relation to the second quarter of 2022. Due to the great efficiencies generated in the accumulated 9 months, we had a growth gross profit of 35%, an increase of 18.4% in relation to the previous period. On the right-hand side, our EBITDA shows growth of 20%, reaching 67.4 million reais. The EBITDA margin was 45%, similar to the previous year. In the 9 month accumulated number, we grew by 45% or 3% on the base. On slide 13, we also have a graph to show our cash flow and indebtedness. by the end of 2022, we had a growth of 27% in our operating cash flow. This was the had an impact on our cash, our working capital. We looked at our operating cash analysis. We see that it was 41 million reais due to an increase that should have occurred in this quarter, but was only implemented 5 days after the end of the quarter. In this way, our operating cash flow reached 13.3 million reais in the same way. We made the same analysis in the 9 month accumulated, and we had a cash flow which would have been went by 74%, a conversion, EBITDA conversion of 38%. On the bottom of this slide, it shows the evolution of our investments and our debt. On the left-hand side, our investment reached 15%, 15 million reais, 15% of our revenue. And in the 9 months, the investments were 39.8 million reais, equivalent to 2.4% of our net revenue, of our gross revenue. Our net debt reached 400 million reais, a relation of 1.7 times EBITDA. Our net debt is healthy and comfortable in relation to our covenants. With that, I will close the financial results, and I pass it over to Gina so that she can talk about the evolution of our ESG. Thank you, Stucki. Well, good morning, everyone. Starting my presentation on slide 15, I would like to point out the four pillars which orient our ESG actions: emissions, mobility, communities, and drivers. A fruit of a studied, a detailed study of our business and our segment. Based on these pillars, we define the objectives, the ambitions by 2030. Carbon neutrality, urban mobility in the priority cities, and the human development in the Sequoia ecosystem, and guarantee the safety and development and fair work of our drivers, of our drivers and delivery people. On slide 16, I talk about our public commitments, which we have assumed until 2025, with the objective of reaching our goals. We are going to reduce our emissions with goals in line with the Paris Climate Agreement. And we will seek by 2022 adhesion to the CDP and the alignment with the Science Based Targets, SBTI. By 2024, we will establish a climate resilience plan following the orientation of the TCFD, and by 2025, we will offer the opportunity of low emissions deliveries with 100% offset in deliveries. By 2025, we will have zero landfill in our operation. In mobility, we're involving in local forums and have started to offer alternative services and less polluting services by the type of fleet and drop-off points. Our commitment is by 2025 to have 15% of our fleet with clean energy and have 40% of our coverage of drops in the most dense urban areas. In our community pillar, we're going to create bases based on the ecosystem, the Sequoia ecosystem, with the focus on the employees and sellers and partners living in our areas. By 2023, we will want to increase the opportunities for growth in these areas. By 2023, we will model the Human Development Index for employees in the surrounding communities. By 2024, we expand the Sequoia Seeds, our Sequoia Seed internship program, which for the second year we received a prize as the best internship program in São Paulo, and we are running at the national title again. By 2025, we will train 25% of our small sellers and partners in terms of management and sustainability. And finally, in our driver column and the delivery people column, we will establish a unified safety standard to better evaluate their working conditions. By 2023, we will do the modeling of the Human Development Index for the drivers and deliverers. By 2024, we will establish a positive social impact program based on the current reality and the fair work criteria. And by 2025, we'll establish a single last mile road safety standard, single last mile road safety standard. In the third quarter of 2022, please consult our release, our results release. With that, I will close it and pass it back over to Armando. Thank you, Jinnah. With that, we finalize our presentation, and we now open for questions from any of our participants. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now initiate the session of questions and answers. To make a question, please dial *1. To remove your question from the list, *2. Please stand by while we collect our questions. Our first question comes from the webcast. Arlindo Souza, good morning. Is it probable that shortly we will have new increases in the diesel costs due to the lack of international prices? How does Sequoia look at this possibility? Will there be space for new pass-throughs to the clients during this fourth quarter of 2022? Good morning, Arlindo. Thank you for the question. In our vision, the dynamic of the market is basically, as we saw in the first quarter of this year, by the end of the first quarter and the end of the second quarter, where we had the highest impacts of diesel, with the oil at $115 a barrel. And at that time, looking at our releases of results, we were able to offset this increase with pass-throughs to the clients. We understand that if there's a new increase, it will not be significant. And since there's already this dynamic known pass-through to as the increase in diesel prices, in our understanding, it will not be a serious problem since people are already, our clients are already sensitive to this situation, and that the negotiation will be much simpler than it was in the second quarter. Next question comes from the webcast from Bernardo. ASEP Private. Can you please give us more details in relation to the integration of the segment B2C and B2B, and what are the benefits, the expected benefits? Beyond that, what would be a traffic control tower? Hi, Bruno, again, thank you for your question. Bernardo, as Armando mentioned, we are focusing on the integration of the different networks, B2C and B2B networks. And in this phase, we want to take between 45 and 60 days. Basically, it's the conjunction of our affiliates. This brings benefits to us of higher cost efficiencies and a better use of our assets and the operational efficiency in the both in the B2C as well as B2B deliveries. We understand that this journey should be done by the end of this year when we will complete the integration. As far as the traffic control tower, it's a tool which we are implementing in our invested company. It's basically the organization of all of our motorized trucks, tractors, in line with knowing where all of our assets are and how they're being utilized, and with that have greater operational capacity, more predictability of how to use these assets more efficiently, and also a better efficiency in the utilization of our fleet. Basically, it's just that. Next question, also from the webcast, from Valdane Souza, CP. What's your thinking, Sequoia's thinking about clean energy in an electric fleet for small distances? Thank you, Valdane. Thank you for the question. Armando here. Since, as Jinnah mentioned at the beginning of her presentation, And in slide number 16 of our presentation, the question of the fleet, of the clean fleet and the electrification works comes from two pillars in our agenda, of our ESG agenda and our commitments. And it's lined up both in the residues, which is the first pillar, as well as in the CDP, and also the alignment with the SBTI of the best practices, and also the commitment that we have to reduce these emissions by 2025. By 2025 is to have reduced by, have 15% of our fleet with clean energy, as you mentioned in your questions. For now, this will basically be for the electrification of the fleet for small distances, for the last mile. For, I think that that's basically gives us a good potential. It depends a lot on infrastructure, especially for the recharging of batteries. However, we've seen that in tests that we've done in a partnership with electric car companies such as Renault and electric motorcycles, that the batteries have gained autonomy of several hours and distance in kilometers, and are now reaching they've become efficient for short distance deliveries, last mile deliveries. Another point that we point out here in our presentation, in the second pillar of mobility, is the integration of our last mile with one of the drop-off points, with our pickups and drop-offs. Starting from this drop-off, we were able to do the last mile, and starting from there, have a more efficient delivery with electric bicycles and electric motorcycles. We believe that this will contribute greatly to the percentage of deliveries which we will do with a electric fleet. We see in these cases, a growth, almost an exponential growth from 22 to 25 in this participation of the electric fleet in the percentage of our deliveries. We see this very positively. And I think on the long distance deliveries, we still see problems due to the autonomy of these batteries and the difficulty of recharging on the highways. So we don't have great expectations for the long distance routes and transfer routes. However, for the large cities with infrastructure for recharging and the exchange of batteries, as we have studied in certain cases, yes, we do see the potential, great potential for the adoption of this clean energy. So thank you very much for your question. The next question comes from the webcast, from Beatriz, a individual investor. Can you explain better how the integration between SFX and Frenet is going? Hi, this is Bruno. Thank you for your question, Beatriz. The integration between SFX and Frenet, which has the great objective of reaching the small and medium sellers, make their watch have a availability, lower availability of logistics solutions, and need a fast solution and cheap solution to be able to ship their material. So basically, Frenet as a hub for marketplaces receives the quotes from the main sellers. Frenet today has more than 60,000 sellers in its portfolio. And with these quotes, one of the options is to choose SFX, where we also are very relevant in this effort. Also remembering always that Frenet is a company, an independent company, agnostic company, but we work to give the best possible integration between the two companies. So Frenet does all of this part of integration with the seller, receives the quotes, chooses the best options, and SFX makes the collection directly from the seller or integrated with our option, as he mentioned, with the drop-offs, the seller can, with a great deal of convenience, close to his house, leave off his packages, which were we picked up by SFX, and then we do all the tracking of this order for the seller in any point in Brazil. Frenet continues to install these drop-off points, and it continues to be a very relevant part of the diverse options that Frenet has in its tool. Next question also came from the webcast from Arlindo Souza. Please comment on the perspectives for the play for the Asian players. Thank you for the question. The perspective, as we've been saying, for these Asian players, they've come into Brazil last year, and this is the first year, in fact, in which the local logistics and what we have seen, that there's been a great acceleration in this quarter, especially in this half, especially in the offering of free freight, and they're very focused on lower value products. In that niche, they have a very strong growth, a dynamic which is competitive in Brazil. Economy, they've had a great difficulties for working with these products. So this niche that they've chosen to begin has generated lots of volume and an operation which has been, but due to the size and the relevance in other countries and their method of operation, we believe that the perspective for the next few years is that they will gain relevance in the national market more and more, principally in the items of lower added value, which over time they should improve their average ticket and should go into the more medium and higher added value over time. But our perspective is that this should happen over the next 3 or 4 years. They will start to become very relevant and will contribute greatly to the growth of e-commerce. Armando here speaking, just to complement what Bruno said. The first important point is that reinforce that we attend these players only in the local market with the domestic sellers. We do not operate with internationally. It's not the focus of our company, and that has been predominantly attended by the mail system, the postal system. However, it's very important for us, as Bruno mentioned, is exactly due to the characteristics of these players of products with lower added value and lighter products, but with the structure we built during 20 and 21, the technology and automation and capacity of collecting from small sellers, it's been very good, our competitiveness, gaining leadership, cost leadership with routes, low density routes, which means high density routes, which means that we've increased our capacity, our competitiveness with light and low value deliveries. And this growth, which we have seen well above the growth of the market in light products, because we have increased exactly our capacity, our operating capacity, and with the investments that we made in automation, software, technology, sorters, and the SFX platform, which we launched at the end of 2020. So all of this has given us our own technology, with efficient technology, be able to capture part of this growth of these new entries with light products and low-value products. We've prepared for this, and we're well-positioned to capture part of that, of the share in the market. So we continue to look at this as a good perspective for us, not only for the Asian players, but also for the light in delivery market in general, in which Sequoia prior to 2020 had a small focus, but with the addition of new distribution centers, automation, and the new technology of SFX together with the utilization technology, we've been able to advance in a healthy way and with sustainable margins, which is the challenge of the industry to have a healthy margin when we operate with the light products and the lower value-added products. We've done this in a very successful way, and leaves us animated with the prospects for the future years in this sector. Thank you very much. We now close the question and answer section, and we'd like to pass it over to Armando Marchesan, founder and CEO, for his final considerations. Armando, please go ahead. Thank you very much. I'd like to thank all of you who have participated in this call. Once again, we want to thank the Sequoia team who continues involved in delivering results and attending our clients. And we want to preparing for the last quarter of the year, a very important quarter where we have peaks of seasonality. And we expect to continue to attend well our clients. Thank you for all of your participation and have a good day. Thank you. The audio conference of Sequoia is now closed. We thank you all for your participation. Have a good day, and thank you for using Chorus Call.